want to be a vessel you flow through. I want to give all that I have to you. I want to know. I want to know you more. I want to share all you've done for me. I want to shine for the world to see. I want to love. I want to love you more. Thank you, Father. That is our cry today. We want to go deeper in you, Lord, so that when the world looks at us, all they see is Jesus. And Lord, I know that there are times when we're reading your word and we're studying and we're thinking to ourselves, Father, when are we ever going to use this? But Lord, you are causing us to be grown up into you so that when the time comes, the answer that somebody needs is going to be on our lips, flowing straight from our heart to their hearts. It's going to be your words, Father, your words flowing through us. And we're going to see lives changed, people changed because of that word, Father. So that's our cry today, Father. We want to go deeper in you. Let's sing that one more time. I want to be a vessel you flow through. I want to give all that I have to you. I want to know. I want to know you more. I want to share all you've done for me. I want to shine for the world to see. I want to love. I want to love you more.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Somebody say, new covenant,
new covenant,
right? In my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, we thank you today for the body and the blood. Thank you for your body that was broken so our bodies could be made well. So the church of Jesus Christ across the world could be in unity on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, doctrinally, there's churches and denominations that emphasize different aspects of things that Jesus has accomplished, but we are all one. Doesn't mean there's, you know, a bunch of schisms and there shouldn't be. There's no reason to be. But there should be total agreement in the body of Christ on the body and the blood. That's what makes us family. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, thank you for your body that was broken so my body could be well. And just take a moment and check your heart. If there's anything that you're holding against anyone, forgive them right now. Because if you have any unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, including yourself, that will block, then this is just a religious ritual that you're doing. To say, Lord, I forgive. And I receive my forgiveness of all sin. I declare Jesus Christ as Lord over me, over my life. I receive the sacrifice you made for me, Lord, on my behalf. In Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together. And then, Lord, we thank you for the blood that cleanses us and washes us, breaks us free from the curse of sin and sickness and disease and poverty and strife, guilt and shame. We take our freedom in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we are one with the body of Christ across the world. Not just those on earth, but those that are in heaven as well. And we thank you for it now, God. Thank you for bringing us into your family by the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take the cup together.
Amen. Well, thank you guys so much again for all of your hard work and effort bringing all that tuna and peanut butter in. And I just believe that when we give it, it's multiplied. So it's going to keep on giving and keep on giving. And as the kids are going to learn today, the Lord's numbers aren't when you have 5 and 2, they don't equal 7. They actually are like, well, if you had men plus their wives and children, it was probably somewhere around 15,000 people that got fed that day. So the Lord takes what we give and he multiplies it. Amen? And I believe that when you sow, then you reap. So you need to be looking for a blessing in your life to come as you reap the benefits of sowing into this ministry. And thank you for your hearts and for just being such faithful givers in your missions. It's making a difference around the world. It's truly making a difference. And so I was really excited we got to send off this week. We always send Melanie and Akira a box around this time of the year to bless their family and bless their kids. And we also get to send their yearly allotment that we have for them. And that was exciting. I just get so excited when I go to the post office to mail that box away. And one of the things that Akira has been doing is he's been translating the Greek into Japanese. And so I was super excited. I was able to get him both of Rick Renner's books, the Sparkling Gems, yes. And he does a lot of translating the Greek into English. And so it'll just be another tool for Akira to be able to use as he's translating. I mean, how awesome is that? He's translating it into Japanese. It's just, thank you, Jesus, for these kinds of men. You know, even like Randy Mishler being able to translate the discipleship training program that he was introduced to that now is training Latinos in the Middle East. I mean, we're seeing amazing things in our missionaries. They're not just the average, just go over there and, you know, talk to people. I mean, they want to just change the lives of these people forever, which is exciting. I don't know about you, but it just gets me pumped up. So thank you for being faithful in your missions giving. Okay, now tithes and offerings. So I know I say this every week, but I am so excited about this series, and I wish I could just sit down there and listen to me. Because I feel like if for nobody else, this series is for me. Therefore, say it with me, do not worry. There is a lot these days that you can be worried about. Gas prices. I don't know about if you girls, when you go to the grocery store, guys can do it too. Have you noticed that your bill is getting higher, but your food is the same amount? Therefore, do not worry. And we've been reading through Matthew 6, and we are in the last few verses here. And today we're in verse 32, and I've got to get to the right translation. I've got like 4 of them up here. Where's my, there it is. Okay. And the NIV says it this way. In verse 32, for the pagans or the Gentiles run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. For those of you who haven't been with us for the past few weeks, we know that all these things have to do with your everyday needs. What you'll eat, what you'll wear, what you'll drink, the gas in your tank, your bills, your budget. Jesus is speaking to the daily needs, everything that you need on a daily basis. And he's saying to them now, for the pagans, the Gentiles, they run after these things. And when I looked up what that means, it means the unbeliever. Or the one who doesn't know the Lord. So that shouldn't qualify. None of you in this room should qualify for that. Right? None of us qualify for that. Because we all believe in the Lord. Amen? So if we believe in the Lord, we do not have to worry. It's almost like he's saying this over and over again in a slightly different way. Kind of like sometimes when you're telling your child something and you're trying to tell them, but you're trying to tell them in another way so it doesn't come across the same way, so it doesn't feel like you're saying the same thing, but you really are. And they're finally like, Mom, really? You've said it so many times. Okay, well then do we finally get it? And you can almost hear the crowd that Jesus was speaking to going, well, Lord, how many times are you going to say, do not worry? Even in here, you might be saying, Shelly, okay, what week is this? Do not worry again. Because you know why? He had to keep saying it because it wasn't sticking. And I'm going to keep saying it until it sticks. Amen? Because there are things that we think we're doing great and we're on a roll. And then something pops up and we go, oh, whoa, 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 I wasn't expecting that. And I want you to hear this in the back of your head, my voice, loud and clear. Therefore, do not worry. And we keep saying it to ourselves over and over because you know what? The pagans or the unbelievers or those who don't know God, they run after all these things. Another translation I wanted you to read you was, just a second. New King James, it says this, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, another word for seek is strive, strain after, go after. For your heavenly Father knows your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. We're not supposed to be striving and straining and going after, figuring out how to take care of our daily needs. No. We're not supposed to be doing that. That's what the world does. If the world does that and you're doing that, we have a problem. Because we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. We shouldn't look like the world. When everybody else in the store is panicking or talking in line about the inflation and all the prices and the lack and the shortage, you should be saying, you know what? But I serve a God who provides for all my needs. Let me tell you about him. Or provide for their need that day. Maybe the Lord puts on your heart, pay for that person's groceries. And you pay for that groceries and you say, you know what? This is to show you God is going to take care of you. He's got this. You don't have to worry anymore. I was studying with Rick Renner this week, and he had an amazing word about the end times. Because everybody knows we're in the end times. If we're not in the end times, we are sitting at the doorpost. I mean, we're right there, right? And he was talking about 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. And this is the Renner interpretive version. It's where he takes all the Greek words and he gets all the meanings into this passage. So this verse is just about two sentences long, but it's quite a bit when you have Rick Renner's version. But it's so awesome, I wanted to read it today. And it says, it ties in with what we're saying about, therefore, do not worry. Now, I don't want you to think about this as being from Rick Renner. I want you to think about this as Paul still speaking to us today. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. For I'm asking you in the strongest of terms to hear what I'm about to say and to do exactly what I'm asking you to do. Is this serious? This is serious. This is when you as a parent go, look at me, look at me. Mama's talking to you, look at me. Are you listening? Well, that's what the Lord is saying today. Look up here, pay attention. The Lord's speaking to us today. The appearance of the Lord Jesus is very near. The moment we have all longed for and waited for is almost upon us. I'm not talking about that moment when Jesus will finally gather. I'm talking about that moment when Jesus will finally gather us together for himself. Some things will be happening right before his coming that could shake you up quite a bit. I'm referring to events that will be so dramatic that they could leave you with your head spinning. Occurrences of such serious nature that many people will end up feeling alarmed, panicked, intimidated, and unnerved. Naturally speaking, these events could put your nerves on edge and make you feel apprehensive and insecure. Is this describing what we're going through right now? I mean, when he was saying this, I was like, whoa, whoa, God, this is amazing. You just have to listen to 5 minutes of the news to feel like this. Craziness. Craziness that's going on all over. Craziness. Things that we would have never dreamed we would hear coming out of a reporter's mouth about laws that people wanted to put into effect about babies, number one. It's so heinous, I won't even talk about it right now in church. But if you don't know about Maryland, you need to look that up and you need to be praying for the state of Maryland. Because it's just devilish what their plans are for children. Awful. Mind reeling. Makes you feel alarmed, panicked, and unnerved at what's going on in the world around us. How I wish I could tell you these incidents were going to just be a one-shot deal. But when they finally get rolling, they're going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming one after another. Now listen to me. That is why you have to determine not to be shaken or moved by anything you see or you hear. Therefore, do not worry. You need to get a grip on your mind and refuse, say refuse, refuse to allow yourselves to be traumatized by these events. If you let these things get to you, it won't be long until you're a nervous wreck. We have to get a hold of our minds. And you know how do you get a hold of your mind? With a word lasso. You take the word and you lasso it around your head. Get back here. Whoa. We are not going down that trail. I refuse fear. I refuse anxiety. I refuse stress. I refuse. Something Gloria Copeland said this week when I was listening to her. She said, if a wild animal came into your house and started tearing everything apart, would you look at that wild animal and go, get out of here? No. Get out of there. She said, no, we'd be yelling at the top of our lungs, get out of my house, chasing it with something, beating it until it gets out. So why do we let the devil come into our lives, into our minds and go, no, don't do that. No, stay out of my finances. Stay off of my kids. No, we need to start being bold in the Lord and saying no in the name of Jesus. I refuse to let you have one more inch, and I've been doing this all week. I shared the women's Bible study. We've had some crazy things going on in our home with our cars and different things. And it's like the enemy is as dripping as my faucet in my bathroom. But you know what I've been telling him? I refuse. I refuse to give in to this. Put my hands up in the air and praise the Lord. Because therefore, I will not worry. It doesn't mean you don't face facts that something has to change. You don't face facts that something needs to be replaced. But you don't take on that weight. You don't take on that fear. You don't take on that anxiety. You don't take on that stress. No, you lasso yourself. And you say what this says, I am determined not to be shaken or moved by anything that I see or hear. You know why we have to get to this point? Because if we don't, those things we see and hear will so overwhelm us. The things that we hear in the world will so come on us, it will weigh you down that having faith to move a mountain will seem impossible. But we've been learning in the kids' class, you know how big your faith has to be? Kids, how big does their faith have to be? Yep, Everly's doing it. What's it called, Everly? What's that tiny thing? A mustard seed. A mustard seed of faith can move a mountain. A mustard seed. A mustard seed. You go to your light switch every day and you flick it on and you have no thought to whether that light's going to come on. You know it will. You have faith that it will. You have enough faith to move a mountain. But if you let all these things into your mind and your heart and they begin to be the only thing you're thinking about, it's going to seem like the mountain is too big. That's why you have to be in this. You have to be listening. You have to be reading. Well, Shelly, You do not have time not to. No excuses. We have phones. We have televisions that will preach to you all day long. It'll even read the word to you all day long. We have to get more of this in these last days. We have to stay on track. We have to. And that's why Jesus repeated himself so many times in this passage, saying over and over again, don't worry about all these little things. Don't worry about your bills. Don't worry about this situation. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about all your daily needs. I'm your God. I'll take care of you. Your job is to pray. What are you praying for? You're praying for the people that God has put you into their lives. That's the greatest tool of the enemy, is to get us sucked up into this whirlpool of anxiety and fear and stress, because you're fighting to get out of the whirlpool, so it's really hard to pray for somebody else. You got something going on in your life? Joni, you've been prayed for a lot this week, because every time I came up with something, I'm like, I know Joni's standing for the same thing, so I pray for Joni. Because you know what that does? That makes the devil mad. What do you mean? I wanted you to sit around and cry and throw a fit, and no, I don't got time for that. You mess with me, I'm gonna mess with you on somebody else's level, right? That's how we combat, that's how, you guys, we have got to get firm in what we believe and not be moved, by anything we see or anything we hear. Whew, I don't know about you, but this is exciting stuff. I wanna read this again. That's why you have to determine not to be shaken or moved by anything you see or hear. You need to get a grip on your mind and refuse to allow yourself to be traumatized by these events. That's us today. We're going to refuse to let the devil keep coming in our houses. And if there's stuff going on in your house, stop treating it with a mamby-pamby hand. Get your spiritual brooms out and chase that thing out of your life. Amen? Don't let it mess with your kids. I've been praising the Lord all week. Again, unusual things, but the enemy's trying to come in and kill, steal, and destroy, right? Because he wants me to feel like this word isn't being effective, because then when I get in front of you, how in the world am I going to tell you it's effective? But I refuse. Amen? I refuse to go by what I see and what I hear, because I know what the word says. The word says, by his stripes, my family is healed. By his stripes, I am healed. He is more than enough for my family, exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or hope or think or imagine. He has plans for us that we haven't even begun to see or begun to understand that are so amazing. Wealth and riches will be in my house. But you see, you're not going to be able to say these things if you don't know they're in there. That's why we have to be in there, so that it gets in here, and then we talk to our head and we lasso it in and we make sure we know we got nothing to fear in these last days. I read the end of the book. We win. There's nothing man can do to me. Nothing. Nothing. And really, there's nothing the enemy can do to you unless you allow him to. Right? We take a stand, we stand firm, and then if he stole something from you, you tell him, guess what, you're a thief and you've been caught, sevenfold coming back to me. You think I'm gonna let you walk away? I don't think so. Uh-uh, not this mama. We got things coming, amen? But we've got to get to that place where we stop seeing ourselves as the victim and we see ourselves as the victors, amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Whoo, Father, I thank you for this word. You are so awesome, God. You are so faithful. And I just pray, Father, for a holy, you can be angry and sin not. And I pray for a holy, righteous anger to well up within this group. If there are things that are coming against our finances, against our health, against our kids, against our families, against our workplaces, against our friends, Father, I just pray we would get to that point so we would say, no! I refuse 1 minute longer to stand by and watch this happen. That we would get a righteous indignation toward the enemy and we would say, enough is enough. Take your trash and leave. And that we would be firm, Father, grounded and planted in your words, that what comes out of our mouths is not just our words, they're your words. So like when the enemy came to Jesus, he didn't use his own words, he used the Bible. And the devil had to leave. So we thank you, Father, for giving us that same authority with your word, that when things come up, we're going to speak the word and see things change. And Father, today we pray especially for our finances, Lord. Where the enemy has come in and tried to steal something, we just call you out right now. You're a thief and a liar. And the word of God says when a thief is caught, he has to pay back sevenfold. So we're looking for the sevenfold to come back in Jesus' name. We are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And we just thank you, Father, that the enemy's tactics aren't going to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. We refuse. We refuse to be moved by what we see or we hear. Thank you, Lord, for this word today. Bless every seed that is sown. Bless the sower. Reap a hundredfold harvest, Father, so we can continue to be able to give to every good work. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, for this word. Let it sink deep into our hearts, Father. Therefore, do not worry. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message today that you have for us. We receive it. We ask you, Lord, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory forevermore in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, we're continuing on this message entitled Cross Culture. And what time we got? We better skip the video. We showed it last week. We played a video last week of one of the opening scenes from The Passion of the Christ. And it's a scene where Jesus is travailing in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane because he's under such pressure from what he realizes he's about to suffer, right? And they Hollywoodized it. But I mean, Mel Gibson, they did a great job on the movie, right? The Passion of the Christ. And he made it so Jesus is travailing and Satan is off to the side watching him. And a serpent comes out of Satan and slithers up to Jesus. And Jesus, in the midst of that intense pressure that he was under, stands up and stomps the head of that serpent down. It just kills it, right? I've made my decision. I'm going to do this. Amen? And we talked about how in the Garden of Eden at the beginning, Adam said, God, not my will, or not your will, God, but mine be done. And he took the fruit and ate it. And as we know, that's why the curse came on the planet and death and wars and storms and diseases, all this death, just death itself, right, came out of that mistake, that treason. And then years later, Jesus, in another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what really got the blessing back on us, where Jesus stood in the gap and made that decision. Glory to God forevermore. And then after the resurrection, it said they took his body down off the cross, and it said there was another garden by the cross, just within walking distance of the cross, with a brand new tomb, never been used. And they put Jesus' body in the tomb, and 3 days later, as you know, what happened? He rose again! Hallelujah, right? Gloriously rose again. And that's the gospel message. Somebody say, it's not complicated. But see, the world, religion, tries to complicate things. Satan tries to complicate things. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. My situation is more complicated than the average situation. There's the same simple answer, though. The same answer is Jesus. Somebody say it's Jesus. Right? Not religion. Not, a program. Nothing against programs and professional help. Sometimes a Christian psychologist and counselor is wise to go and seek help. Right? But it shouldn't be something that we need throughout our lives. Amen? Praise God. I had a physical this past week, an annual physical. And he investigated everything. great doctor. But there was a place where we didn't see eye to eye on a couple things. I know he's the doctor, But I'm like, doctor, I just don't feel good about taking that particular thing because of the long-term side effects of that. Blood pressure and cholesterol, basically. I'm 50 years old, 40 pounds overweight. Blood pressure and cholesterol. I mean, hallelujah, right? So I've been on a blood pressure pill for goodness, probably 15 years. But I was just talking with him about, you know what, doc, I appreciate your input, but my faith is just as much a part of this decision as what you're saying. And he just kind of stared at me. And I just kind of stared at him. And he just kind of stared at me. And I just kind of stared at him. And we, you know, eventually moved on, right? Let me know your faith should be a big part of everything that you do, right? What does the word say about that? And finally, it came down, which I was really impressed, because a lot of times, praise God for doctors, but a lot of times doctors will just emphasize drugs, 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 drugs. Remember that Huey Lewis in the news song, I Want a New Drug, back in the 80s? People live that way. Just give me a new drug so I don't have to change anything in my life. Well, no, I came to him and he came to the understanding of Steve is going to lose weight. I said, you know, he's like, you know what? He finally walked over to this little chart. He says, now how old are you and how tall are you? And he circled a little square and he says, Steve, you're obese. You need to lose 40 pounds. Right? And I said, then doctor, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. In the meantime, I'll be on the meds and, you know, but exercising, eating better, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we can get so under condemnation about such things in our life, like anything else. But the Bible, the Holy Spirit is not about condemning me. We can live on drugs if we want. There's all kinds of options out there, right? But for me, I said, you know what? I don't want to live that way. I got a lot to do for God. And he's like, well, Steve, he said, he's very thorough doctor. I mean, great guy. But he took my blood pressure he set up like 3 minutes. And this is after our conversation, right? Taking it again. And I've been on this medication for, like I said, a long time. He's like, Steve, your blood pressure, I've taken it 3 times now, 152 over 100. And he said, that might be because of the conversation we're having. But he said, we need to fix this. So he added something. So I'm like, okay, praise God. Let's add the, you know, so I got a little supplement pill to add to the other pill. And so you do what you got to do. Somebody say, you do what you got to do. Right? But we ended with the understanding of my ultimate goal is to drop the weight so that I can get off of, I don't want to live on any prescription drugs. But how many of you know not wanting to and actually getting there is a journey. It's a journey for whatever it is we're believing God for. I'm just using me as an example, right? So glory to God. So whatever it is, the Lord has got on us that we need to tweak or change or whatever. It's personal. It's totally, absolutely personal in a lot of these things. Amen? But our faith, somebody say, my faith is a big part, a huge part of every decision that I make. Amen? Would you believe, Steve, would you believe you can lose 40 pounds? Yes, absolutely. Amen. Glory to God. I declare I will. And I will not be on any. I'll be testifying one day that, guess what? I don't need that stuff anymore. But until then, I'll be using it. Because I'm better off if I do, right? Amen? Because you don't want to be walking around at 152 over 100 on the blood pressure. Don't preach angry, Steve, right? Hallelujah. But the word works. Amen. The word works. Right. By his stripes, you were healed. Right. By his stripes, I was healed. Amen. So we keep confessing the word, and we let the Holy Spirit lead us practically in things that I must do to change. Amen? Glory to God forevermore. But our foundation text for this message, cross culture, what's this all got to do with cross culture? Well, I guess I'm crucifying the flesh. I'm changing my culture. Amen? Praise his name forevermore. Cross culture, better blood means better things. Aren't you glad we got better blood? And that's another thing that he talked to me about. He was like, well, let's talk about your family history. I mean, it's like they're directed to try to scare you into taking more pills. Which, hallelujah. I mean, if you got to take a pill, take a pill. So don't be a pill. Right? But we started talking about my grandfather. And I was like, well, yeah, my grandfather had multiple heart attacks and passed at 64 years old. And he said, Steve, he looked at me and he said something to the effect of, well, then you probably have about 14 years left. And we stared at each other again. He's trying to scare me. I'm like, doctor, I am not afraid. And I said, guess what else, doctor? I have another father. I said, I got another father. I told you about my faith, and he's got this person on Zoom that's a trainer, that's like training with him. He had to turn her around for a minute for a couple of things that he did. But I was like, sir, I have another father, doc. I have a higher authority. I love my grandfather. I know where he is, but I am not afraid. But yeah, I'll take that pill for a while. But I am not going to be checking out anytime soon because I got a lot to do. Amen. Somebody say, I have another father. I have a heavenly father. I have Jesus' DNA. Better blood means better things. Glory to God. So don't tell me I can't do anything that the Word says I can do. Amen? Praise the Lord. But our foundation text is Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By the way, you know why we're not afraid of dying? A lot of people should be terrified of death. You know why we're not? Because we know what comes next. And it is glorious. But it doesn't mean I'm looking to die right now. No. Amen. I got responsibilities. and a passion to live and accomplish more of what God wants to get done. Amen. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And that's why we titled this message Cross Culture. This year being a year that we're focusing on kingdom culture. So the culture of our communities, the nation, the world should not be influencing the cross. The cross should be influencing the culture. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Better blood means better things for you and for me. How many of you believe in God for better things? Better health, better family, better career, vocation, better whatever it is. Amen? And that's it's not like we're just making this up. This is Bible to believe this way. Amen? And it all starts with what we believe, doesn't it? Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this. I was going to move on past this, but I really think this is part of the foundation of this entire message, this particular portion. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, for the message of the cross, somebody say the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. How many know it doesn't matter how normal my blood pressure is, if I'm Mr. Universe in shape, I mean, you know, I love, you know, seeing The Rock on TV, you know, and that kind of stuff. But if you're not born again, ain't going to end well. Right? That's terrible. You're in terrible shape If you're physically in the shape, I mean, you are a specimen, but you're not born again, you're in terrible shape. Because you might be in good physical shape for now, but you're in terrible shape forever. And I would gladly trade now for forever. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we forget our physical health, all right? That's where the church has to pick up the slack, right? Amen? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, somebody say, but to us, but to us, but to me, who am being saved, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power, somebody say, the power of God. This is what differentiates Christianity from any other religion. Nobody else did this for me. Nobody. Buddha didn't do that for me. Muhammad didn't do that for me. Joe Smith didn't do that for me. Nobody. Krishna, you name it. Nobody died and raised back to life for me. Nobody could. They weren't good enough. Their blood wasn't good enough. There was better blood. The only one that could do it did it. And he is the only way. He's the only way. Amen? To us who are being saved. Well, I thought I was saved. Well, if you've prayed the prayer and made Jesus Lord of your life, then yes, you are born again. Praise God forevermore. Spiritually, somebody say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So spiritually, we've been reborn. And that's the best thing. But see, there's a lot of people, millions of people out there in the world that got spiritually reborn, born again, and stopped right there and never grew an inch throughout their life, and they died and they went to heaven. Praise God. But how many know our soul and our flesh are being saved? Because there's work to do in my soul. There's work to do in my flesh. But not in order to earn salvation. Jesus did all that work. Amen. We just simply believe on him. And then we obey his voice, do what he says, because we love him. Amen. Somebody just say, I love him. I do what he says because I love him. Amen. But foolishness means words like, when it says the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, it means words like silliness, absurdity, senselessness, untrue, contrary to reason or common sense, laughably false, stupid, blockhead, heedless, asleep at the switch, inattentive, foolhardy. There's people that believe that about Christians. That believe by just being here in a meeting like this, in a church service, you're wasting your time. You should be out working or doing drugs or mutilating yourself. Crazy stuff, right? You're wasting your time. In fact, you're dangerous. Somebody say, yes, to the devil we are. Yes. Yes, we are, devil. Amen. But I want over the next couple weeks, I've been kind of watching how the Lord's leading this. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at that word peace. Somebody say peace. When it says peace through the blood. And we're going to look at the word power, the power of God. The power. How many know the cross is the power of God? How many know we need his power to be separated from sin? To be saved out of hell and onto, it takes a powerful work to do that, right? But the word I want to look at today that jumped off the page at me when I was considering these things is the word message. Message. When it says the message of the cross. How many know it is a very simple message, right? Jesus, born of a virgin, lived his entire life without a sin. Miracles, deliverances, power of God confirming he's the Messiah, died on the cross, raised again 3 days later. Somebody say, that's not a difficult thing to understand, right? It's a simple message. In 1 Corinthians, I think it is chapter 1, Paul is dealing with a complicated church. The church tries to complicate things sometimes, right? The Corinthian church was complicated. They tried to include all these crazy, whatever, they were influenced by their culture, right? And Paul said, you know what? I fear for you that you're like Eve, who was beguiled by the serpent, and you're getting away from the simplicity of Christ, adding all these other things, even into perversions and idolatry and all this kind of stuff. Somebody say, there's reasons why that stuff's in the Bible today, because it still applies to the church today. Not even talking about the world out there, people, the unsaved, talking about believers, people that are born again. Amen? So when we're talking about the message, look at verses 18 through 21 of 1 Corinthians. And in the Message version, I thought, well, we're talking about message. Let's see what the Message version has to say, right? I love this. It says, the message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. I love the way the Message translation brings things out like that. But for those on the way of salvation, somebody say, that's me. For those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. How many know it makes perfect sense that I was a sinner? It makes perfect sense that I needed help. It makes perfect sense I couldn't help myself. It makes perfect sense I needed a Savior. Amen? It makes perfect sense. Everything Jesus did makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out. It's written, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head. I'll expose so-called experts as shams. Have we seen any of this lately? Right? Amen. Somebody say, don't get away from the simplicity of the cross. The simplicity of the gospel. It is not a complicated message. Specifically today, we want to look at another word, the word tradition, talking about messages, right? Colossians 2:8 says this, beware lest anyone cheat you. He's talking to the church, right? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Amen? Tradition is another way of saying a message. People are passing down from generation to generation. Amen? Mark chapter 7 is a good place to look, where Jesus dealt with the tradition of religious leaders, Pharisees. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So see, the cross in the shape of the T should not remind us of tradition. To some, even the cross is a traditional emblem. It means nothing to them. Just a cool emblem, kiss it, you know, do little signs, whatever. No deeper meaning than that. Good luck. Somebody say it needs to get deeper than that. It needs to go from tradition to truth. Amen? And then we can tell somebody effectively. And we can tear up the devil's kingdom. And we can turn this nation around. Glory to God forevermore. If we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and simply in what he did. Hallelujah, right? And the word tradition, the dictionary.com, I like this definition. because it, you know, addresses what we're talking about. A continuing pattern of culture, beliefs, and practices. Continuing pattern of culture, beliefs, and practices. I looked up a few years back because I just want to show you this or read some things to you, some notes that I took on some other faiths regarding, we don't want to get into a bunch of the ins and outs of different faiths, right? But where's the hope in their faith, right? Okay? How do they help themselves? Where's the redemption? Where's the salvation? Well, to an atheist, atheists believe practicing a science of morality. There's no God, right? To an atheist, they don't believe in God. We don't need God. All we need is the science of morality. Okay? That's a tradition that they've taught and taught and taught, right? To a Buddhist, there's a succession of lifetimes. Rebirth depends on the merit gained by one's karma, as well as that occurred on behalf by a family member. Right? So multiple rebirths, multiple lifetimes. But your hope of salvation has to do with how good were you, how many good deeds did you do, this kind of stuff. And great Uncle Joe might affect how that's been gone for 40 years. He might bring you down a notch. Traditions of men. The Bible calls them doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. Dangerous. And might I also say complicated. Complex, right? You need help to figure this out, right? To the Hindu, the concept of God is complex, right? Depends on each individual and the tradition and philosophy followed. We hear a lot of this in the U.S. right now, this type of thing. Oh, it just depends on whatever you feel, whatever you believe, right? There is divine in everything. Humans, animals, trees, rivers, woo! No difference between you and a tree. I've done pest control for people before. I want the rats out of my house, but I hate killing things because of this kind of stuff. Ma'am, it's a rat. There are health reasons why. You want, but they're cockroaches. I know, but it's a living thing. I don't want to come back as a cockroach. Well, this traditions of men, doctrines of demons, right? This is not true, right? Amen. But see, Christians oftentimes, I was scrolling through a list of people in Hollywood that declared they're Christians, and you're scrolling through all these different things. And it's like, you know, I'm not their judge. Praise God that they're declaring they got faith, but I don't know what that means. When you talk about God, who is God to you? Right? I mean, it's the simplicity is what we're getting at here. It's a very simple message. The gospel. Mormonism. And these are just a few of the, you know, some of the leading other faiths around, right? Joseph Smith had multiple visions. How many know the devil comes as an angel of light? An angel, he is a fallen angel. The Muslim faith started the same way. He had a vision of an angel. Pastor George was sharing this morning that the Muslim faith have their own end time prophetic thing out there, that they're going to come and destroy Israel, and then Jesus is coming back to declare the whole world should be Muslim. Convert everyone to Islam. From now on, it's a lie. Absolutely untrue. Fictitious. Dangerous. Now that's dangerous. Right? How many know we need to not drift from the simplicity of the gospel, right? Mormonism, Joseph Smith had many visions. The vision told him, do not join any existing church because they're all wrong. Let me just tell you this. If I ever get up here and say, all other churches are wrong, never leave this church, leave. That's a good day to leave. Leave all your money, leave all your personal belongings, and then leave. No. Don't listen to another word I say if I get up here and declare something like that. And then he said, reestablish the true Christian church. Oh, church, let me tell you, starting today, all other churches are wrong. We are reestablishing, and I've rewritten my own Bible. Somebody say, danger. These are danger signs, no matter how many people are doing it, how cool it looks. And I know a lot of personal friends that are Mormons, and they're good folks, right? And not to say a Mormon couldn't be saved if they've accepted Jesus as the Lord of their life. Amen? You don't know. It's like saying everyone who ever comes to church is saved. Really? Really? Amen? The Book of Mormon then means establishing correct doctrine for the restored church, the only true and living church. I mean, this is dangerous, right? The Bible, they go on, the Bible is incomplete and errors have been introduced, right? The Book of Mormon is divine and equal to the Bible. And then you have saving ordinances that you must complete, right? Baptism, confirmation, ordination, endowment, marriage, very controlling. Right? I was reading another thing that they believe that everyone in the whole world pre-existed in heaven, and God said, here's my plan of salvation, and a third of all the people that pre-existed rejected that plan, one third, sound familiar? One third, and fell with Satan. Everybody else came and was born into a physical body, and they're going through this process in life to eventually become like God and rule your own planets and that kind of thing. I mean, not true. Not biblical. How many know this Bible, you can't improve on perfection. You can't improve on perfection. And in fact, there are scriptures in the Bible that says, do not add or subtract from this book. So even if he saw a heavenly being, it was a devil. Right? Now we don't tell people that come knocking at our door. Right? You are of Satan. No. You love them. But now you have some things to share. Here's what I've told them before. It's like, you know, here's the thing why Christians, I said, I apologize for how Christians probably treat you, because a lot of Christians are just insecure in their faith. And they'll have a beer and a rated R movie playing in the background and tell them they're going to hell. And they haven't been to church in years themselves. So they're insecure about their faith, right? No, you love people. You share the gospel with them. Share the love of Jesus with them. Point them to Jesus, right? Jehovah's Witness, finally, right? They have their own Bible, the New World Translation of the Bible, and there's a governing body that decides everything they believe. They have what they call a progressive revelation, the governing body does, and they get this progressive revelation through reason and study, right? They say only a little flock go to heaven. You know, the Revelation talks about the 144,000 on planet Earth. To them, that is the total number of human beings that are qualified to go to heaven, right? Everyone else must be baptized, Jehovah's Witness, meet scriptural requirements, and hope to be worthy of resurrection and pass the, quote, final test at the end of the millennium. Somebody say complicated, and you're not good enough. You are not good enough to get into heaven. Just hope you're good enough to be resurrected and live on planet Earth forever. These are lies. Doctrines of men, doctrines of demons. In this specific faith, they if you celebrate your child's birthday, you're an idol worshiper. If you stand up for the national anthem, you're worshiping the flag. If you celebrate Christmas, you're an idol worshiper. This kind of stuff is just, somebody say, complicated. And there's no love in that. When you celebrate your kid's birthday, you're not worshiping them. You're saying, I love you. Let's celebrate the day of your birth. And they also believe if you when you die, you just simply cease to exist. There is no hell. These things are doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. Somebody say, keep it simple. And I'm not saying we love Jesus because he keeps it simple. He just kept it simple. The wages of sin is death. And the only one whose blood was good enough. See, all these things in here are trying to tell you, here's how you can be good enough. How many know I wasn't good enough in myself? Billy Graham, Mother Teresa weren't good enough. Or whoever you can think of, the holiest person you could think of was not good enough in themselves. There's only one blood. And by that blood, you and I, now when we do die or when the rapture happens, we go to heaven. Heaven is your home. And God's bringing heaven here too. We're taking over the entire galaxy. I mean, this is going to be a family operation. It's going to be, that's why we like movies like Star Wars and things like that, where Star Trek, because there is a galaxy out there, solar systems to explore and rule and reign with Christ. But it all starts here. I've heard people say Jerusalem is the center of the universe. There's all kinds of reasons why this thing is coming to a helm, right? But we'll close with this particular scripture here, because I went over it. But John 14:6 says this: Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's how simple it is, okay? No one. Somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. So I guess we could also say everyone can come to the Father if they come through me. How many know without the cross, we're lost? Even if he'd been born a virgin and did all these great miracles and taught great things, and then they killed him or he died a natural death, ascended to the Father, whatever, we're lost, because the wages of sin is death. He had to do this. Aren't you thankful? And all you have to do is believe it. Somebody say, I can do that. That's really easy. See, I'm not about trying to lose 40 pounds so I can get my karma numbers up. Right? No, I just want to be healthier. I want to have a longer, healthier life and not be having side effects of medication. Why? But we have authority over side effects, by the way, in the name of Jesus, right? But somebody say, I receive, Lord, everything. Just stand up on your feet. We're going to close. We got to close it somewhere, right? I receive, Lord, everything. Say everything that you accomplished at the cross. I thank you for the simple message, the simple truth, the simple message of a death, burial, and resurrection of the only one who is qualified and loved me enough to save me. Hallelujah. And I receive it today, Jesus. I receive the work that you did for me. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us to be a light, a shining light to point others to Jesus. Somebody say, all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Ora che siete alla vama cusheta novo bokela. He is the only way. Seek him first. seek him first in his word. Whenever you come to the word, remember the things that Jesus has already done. It will help you to understand and perceive it and know how to apply it to your life. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. We praise you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.